Good morning again. Leon Sullivan. Been reading about him this week. Dr. Leon Sullivan, President Bush's Cabinet Secretary of Health and Human Resources, is fond of saying, one of his favorite expressions is that the first department of education is the family. I like that. At the fourth annual conference on the black male, listen to what he said. Now they invited him to this, this was apparently a rough crowd, and they invited him in. A lot of kids dropouts from school, etc., and they asked Dr. Sullivan to come, and he decided in the, I'm reading out of the book called Why America Doesn't Work by Chuck Colson and Jack Eckert. He walked into this meeting and he looked at these kids, and after a while, after he got his courage, he said to them, the black community was able to endure 200 years of slavery and more than 80 years of segregation. Why, he said, because we maintain that sense of community and connectedness with one another. Even in the wake of slavery, intact families were the norm in the black community, not the exception as they are today. In many respects, he said to them, we survived better as a people back then, and it is time to remember what worked in our social structure. Then he goes on to say, if I can find it here, don't have sex until you are emotionally ready for marriage and financially ready to provide for your children. He told it like it was. Don't have sex until you're emotionally ready for marriage and financially ready to provide for children. Leon Sullivan, the man in charge of billions of dollars of welfare aid programs, was telling poor inner city kids that they had better take responsibility for their own behavior. It's always going to come back to that personal responsibility for our own behavior. That's a good message for all of us. Every week now, since we've started this series on sexuality, human sexuality, I'm getting phone calls from men that are struggling with this, not only in their own lives, but in the lives of their children. And I think it's a privilege for us to be able to lay it out the way it is. This is the way it is. And that is what Paul was talking about last week in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 and 4, when he said, each of you should know to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. You might want to work your way over to 1 Thessalonians 4 this morning. First Thessalonians 4, the passage we're looking at is, it is God's will, verse 3, that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. The process of sanctification, what's a good Friday morning at 7 o'clock at Houlihan's word for sanctification? What's the best way of saying that in English? Separate, to make a difference in this world, to stand out. The process of sanctification, specifically by avoiding sexual immorality, by standing out, by avoiding sexual immorality, starts in the mind. Each of you should know, you remember last week? Should know to control his own body. Starts in the mind. Think about it, Paul is saying. Understand that it is unthinkable for a person who has been redeemed, whose sins have been forgiven, who belongs to Jesus Christ by grace, to be involved in sexual immorality. That's where it starts. It's totally antithetical for one of God's people to be involved in any kind of sexual immorality. Incidentally, I'm sorry, Bo, what did you get back?
Saturday night.
Saturday night. Bo Simpson is back after his three-week mission trip to Russia. And I'm sorry, I didn't welcome you back. I just was preoccupied here. Now, we'll make a bigger fuss over that in the next few weeks, okay? Good to have you back. You look a little tired. Was it a Okay, today let's go to verse 5. Not in passionate lust, Paul says. Not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. Now, you may all know what passionate lust is, right? If you don't, I'm going to really confuse you this morning. I'm going to explain it to you in the Greek. Okay. Not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. Passionate lust. Let's have some fun and understand the words here, because they're powerful. There's two words that Paul puts together to try to make the point. One word is pathos, the word pathos, which is a feeling of being overwhelmed or mastered by a feeling of lust. It deals with the passive side of sexual lust. It deals with the passive side of sexual immorality. The other word, epithumia, which the older ancient translations translated as the word concupiscence, which we don't use today, deals with the active side. That's the desire. That's the passion. So he's using two words to basically say, not in the passion of your lust, which indicates the surrender of a man to his passion. And we all know what we're talking about here. How many of you, without raising your hand, have ever experienced being overwhelmed or mastered by sexual lust? Like the heathen, he's saying, who do not know God. What is the point of the whole passage in verse 3? What is the point of the whole passage? It is God's will that you should be what?
Holy Spirit.
That you should be sanctified. In other words, the whole point of this is you should be different. And when you get involved, or your family gets involved in any aspect of sexual immorality, what have you done? We end up totally compromising the Lord's name and his plan. And the more and more you study the Bible, you realize this is not peripheral activity. This is not negotiable. This is essential for God's people, that they would be characterized by sexual purity. The question this morning is, how do we do this? How do you do this when you're bombarded all over the place? Television, movies, just walk through the mall after Houlihan's this morning. You start right there, right? Open your, turn to the left to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, 12 and 13. Here's a passage that every Christian man ought to memorize. First Corinthians 10, verses 12 and 13. Paul says, and you'll have to, on your own, read the whole 10th chapter here, what he's talking about. He says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Some of the men that are falling today are the men who have been the most zealous for the Lord all over the country. Regardless of denomination, men who have tried to be zealous for the Lord that are traveling all over the world on airplanes and everything are falling sexually because they fail to take this to heart. Verse 12, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall, according to the older translation. That's a good one. In other words, it could happen to anybody at any time. Just like that. You all know what I'm talking about. Don't drop your guard. Don't give an inch, Paul is saying. As we've talked about in the previous weeks, flee situations. As soon as you feel that, coming up in your soul, flee the, just remove yourself from the situation. No nudity. One of the things this study has done for me, I felt I was compromising. I was going to these movies, sitting there with my wife and having these funny feelings, and I realized now that I was compromising. I should not do that. One of the great advantages to having to teach the Bible is you learn something. Verse 13, no temptation has seized you except which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. Memorize that. Temptation is not sin. God knows we will be tempted. You can pray like this, Lord, I know you are faithful. Give me a way out. Remind God of his word. The challenge today is practicality. Work on the small things. Work on the small things. You're driving your car down the street and you see a billboard that distracts you. Just try, like a muscle, just doing the light ones. Don't look the second time. If you want to know where the billboards are, I know where they are. They're down in, a lot of times they're down in Piedmont Road here. They did? Okay. Couldn't afford the space, right, Charles? Don't look the second time. If a woman is inappropriately attentive to you, just make the decision. No encouragement. No encouragement, not even a little. And make sure you know what media you're going to get yourself involved in. Here's a publication. How many of you know about Movie Guide? How many of you know about Movie Guide? Okay. It's nice to talk to guys that don't know too much. Movie Guide. You look like an expert, right? Okay. A biblical guide to movies and entertainment. Every time you're going to go to a movie, just get your movie guide. If you want to know how to order, just call my office. And it's free. You can give these people a donation. And you can look up the movie and it'll tell you just what to expect. And if you have convictions about this and you don't want to be exposed to nudity, it'll tell you up front, don't go. It's not radical or heavy duty. It just gives you the facts. Okay. As we've been doing the last few weeks, we remind ourselves we can't do this on our own steam, and we're closing again with 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 and 24. May God himself, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 and 20, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? That he would be the one that changes us through and through. He doesn't leave anything out. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's a great line, great verse. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. It seems impossible. For some of us, it seems impossible. Let him do it. You can't do it. Let him do it. One decision at a time. Okay? Let's have prayer together. Lord, we thank you for our fellowship. We thank you for the privilege of gathering together for the purpose of encouragement and to provoke each other to love and good works. Make us men whose lives are not prudish, but characterized by serious faithfulness to your standards for sexuality. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.